All right, let's get started. I know it's a lunch hour, so I'm hoping people will slowly start coming in. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think we can do a little bit better. Good afternoon. Perfect. I think you all had lunch already, right? Or not yet. Maybe still somebody else still hungry. I'll try to make it more, entertainment as well. My name is Sesha Mani. I'm a principal program manager in the Office 365, SharePoint Online, and OneDrive4 business team. And my team focuses primarily on the cross-tenant as well as cross-premises strategies and products. For example, when you think about hybrid, it is crossing your on-premises and the cloud. When you think about this particular scenario across org collaboration, it is crossing two tenants, like I have tenant A and there's a tenant B, for example. So that's what my team is focusing on. And I'm also having two other presenters will be joining me, Jeffrey Zhu and Tony Hernandez. Both of them are also program managers in Office 365 team. In this session, we wanted to go through the collaboration outside the firewall in Office 365. In other words, the business-to-business collaborations. How you can use Office 365 as an effective tool to accomplish this cross-org collaboration scenarios. So let's get started. We'll start with setting a landscape of what is Office collaboration, business-to-business collaboration, just so that we are all on the same page. And then we will jump into specific key resources, starting with SharePoint Online and OneDrive4 Business collaboration. So specifically sharing your SharePoint sites or OneDrive4 Business documents with the external users. And then we will touch base on the SharePoint hybrid. And I think it's a very common scenario that in SharePoint on-premises, you might have the external facing sites. And now that cloud Office 365 is here and many adoptions are happening in this space, how can we start benefiting from that while continuing to have your on-premises through the hybrid mechanisms? We'll talk about that as well. And then also, we will cover the Exchange Online and the Skype for Business. What are the experiences that are available in that regard as well? Okay, so fairly is an end-to-end. So we'll try to cover all those aspects around like the 300 level. So let's start with what is business-to-business collaboration or cross-org collaboration. So typically, for any given organization, let's say, for example, in this picture, Contoso, they work with outsiders, such as suppliers, partners, or vendors, or such as consultants. You know, this is a very common scenario. So think about it, for example, an auto manufacturer, right? An auto manufacturer has to work with the auto parts suppliers, auto parts vendors, perhaps some consultants for their marketing launch, for example, right? Product launch. So there's a lot of efforts happening outside of your organization. Not only specifically outside of the organization, like the parts suppliers, but also other auto manufacturers. You may want to collaborate with them when you go out and stuff like that. So it's very common. It's actually bread and butter for many organizations. So this is the empowering your workforce so that they go beyond your organization boundary. So not just collaborating within your organization, but beyond your organization boundary. So that's the business-to-business cross-org collaboration that we are focusing on. Mainly, when we bring it in the context of Office 365, it's about focusing on those external facing sites or external collaboration and bring it to life so that it's much more social, as well as making those collaborators as if they are part of your organization and have a much better collaboration experience with them. And with the modern productivity experiences, being able to have those external collaborators work with you, from mobile devices and things like that as well. So in the Office 365 ecosystem, being how it can help to achieve some of those business-to-business collaboration experiences. So more specifically, for example, in this particular slide, I'm talking about Contoso is an auto manufacturer, and they have upstream auto parts manufacturers like ADATUM and Fabricam. So I'm going to walk through this customer story throughout this session so you can follow through, and you can relate that to your specific scenario as well. So Contoso is the auto manufacturer. Upstream, they are working with some auto parts manufacturers like Fabricam and ADATUM, and then downstream, they are working with Contoso 1, Contoso 2. There are other auto parts manufacturers as well. And they typically want to use sites and sharing some documents with these external vendors like ADATUM and Fabricam. or they want to be able to meet with those persons, which means being able to share their calendar so that they can see the FreeBC information available for the users, and they can set up the meeting, and also when Contoso users are available, so they can go through that, as well as being able to converse with them using the chat, the Skype for Business chat itself. So that's kind of a key collaboration experiences that this Contoso organization is looking to enable. And let's see how, you know, this whole session, how they're going to achieve that. The other key aspect is, before I go into the specifics, two other things. Across Office 365, there are several workloads, several collaboration experiences. For example, SharePoint, OneDrive for Business, and then Skype for Business in the instant messaging and chat, as well as the calendar sharing. But we are starting with that, evolving. It will evolve into other workloads as well. So think about Project Online, for example. So if you're hiring a project manager from externally, and you want to give him a capability of working with projects, project sites and project web apps and so on. So we are looking at how do we enable those additional workloads as well down the road, so that the ecosystem of Office 365 gives you the best place to do cross-org collaboration. At the platform level, the Office 365 business-to-business collaboration is built, or it is using, the Azure Active Directory for the identities and management of those aspects for external users. So that's what is being used in, at the platform level. Not only just identity management, but also ability to audit and report on these external users coming and accessing your resources. And I'll show you the demos where you can see how we have done extensively enabled some of these capabilities, such that even if the end user is coming and sharing a document or he's accessing a specific documents in a SharePoint site, all those activities are being logged as well in your tenant. So you get some of those out of the box available as well. So what are some of the key business values that you get in business in this, having it in the Office 365? The first and foremost, expanding your business without needing to worry about, I need to have a project plan for expanding my on-premises infrastructure. My business is growing from 100 partners to 500 partners. If you are handling them in on-premises, you know, you're also now talking about having a project plan to expand your on-premises infrastructure and so on. Whereas by having this collaboration happening in Office 365, you no longer have to worry about the expanding your infrastructure. Rather, you worry about, instead of going from 100 to 1,000, how can I go from 100 to 2,000 in the next year? So you can focus on the actual business itself and then growing into more and more partners. It allows you to scale out very quickly. The second major thing, I mean, it's very obvious, is the cost as well. How many of you have configured or still maintaining the SharePoint on-premises, some external-facing sites? Many of you. So as you all know, it's fairly expensive, as well as it's resource-intensive, to stand up the on-premises site, open it up in your firewall, open the firewall so that the external user can come in and then start accessing your on-premises. Not only the initial capital cost, but also over the period of months and years, you need to maintain that infrastructure as well, and your security guys will love you, right? They will say, "How can, you know, make sure that this port is closed, this port is open, and then make sure that we actually manage all the external users who are coming in." He actually not worried about SharePoint sites. He actually worried about what other things that these guys may get into, what other applications that I'm running in on-premises that they may get into, right? So there's a lot of aspects around just security, auditing those activities as goes on. That's where the cost is a big cost when already exposed in the external sites from on-premises. Whereas in the Office 365, they're not coming to your on-prem at all. They're coming directly to the Office 365, accessing the resources, getting the collaboration done, then they are going off at all. So your security folks, I believe, will love this story. The other aspect is collaborate with your partners as if they are your internal users, right? Being able to share with them easily, being able to see their calendar availability as well, right? So as if they are local users, you are able to collaborate with them. And as I said in the previous slide, not just these basic collaborations that I mentioned, but also it is a suite-wide experience. So there are things like Project Online will also start supporting the external users' capability as well. And then last but not least, no compromise from the security perspective. So there's always a trade-off between oh, if you're saying it's so easy to do the collaboration in Office 365, does it mean now I'm giving up on some of the security aspects that I always wanted to need? So I'll show you in a couple of demos where you can see how, from the ground up, we have tightened up the security, and especially the access control and so on for these external users, so that while they can do easy collaboration, the end user perspective, but behind the scene, the system will give you or has the restrictions in place so that they cannot go beyond their restricted access itself. So I'll show you that in the demo so you guys can see it right away. And in a nutshell, it's about simplicity from the end user perspective, your end user's perspective, from a secure and a governed way from an IT admin's perspective, and also the connected partnerships as well. So with that, those are the three key principles that we will key off of: simplicity, and then secure aspects, as well as the connected experience too. And when I say connected, I mean in two aspects. One is, if you have already an on-premises footprint, how is it connected to that on-premises footprint so that your end users are having seamless experience? Not only in sharing with some sites or documents, but also across connecting with other, like calendar sharing and other aspects as well. So it is connected along. It's a full ecosystem that you can share with. So that's the initial, I would say, setting the expectations of the landscape for what is cross-org collaboration. Now let's talk about specifically SharePoint Online and OneDrive for Business collaboration, and this, what are the scenarios in this space. So first and foremost, it's the security spectrum is how we think about this space, the whole cross-org external collaboration. As you can see in this security spectrum here, starting from all the way in the left to the right, the leftmost one is completely locked down, meaning your tenant is disabling completely the external sharing. So no whatsoever external sharing is allowed. So you can choose to do it in that way. Or the second one is around admin-managed users. So you have a way to, I don't want my end user to be able to bring the users in, but I want to manage it at the admin level, so you can start using it at that level. So that's the second entry on the spectrum. And I see a lot of cameras going up, because definitely it's a very good slide. It's easy to talk to you with your security folks, actually. The third one is allow list are being able to control what partner organizations that your org is want to allow your users to collaborate with. So this is a fairly new concept. Some of you might be familiar with it because we just recently announced this. So I'll go through the demo and you can see what's the benefits of that. The fourth one is around deny list, meaning I actually don't, I'm okay opening up, but I have these specific domains, specifically, let's say, hotmail.com. I don't want people to collaborate with some consumer identities. I would rather make sure they are collaborating with their business users, business identities only. So you can say hotmail.com is in my deny list, so they cannot actually share with that particular consumer identity email domains. So that is the going down the path. As you can see, I'm going a little bit security is loosening up. Then number five is around, doesn't matter, I'm opening it up, so any external users that they can share with. And this is what a year before SharePoint Online was. If you used SharePoint Online before a year, you can see that once you turn it on, your end users can start sharing with anybody in the world, right, as long as they have an email address. So that's where we started a couple of a year or 2 years back, but now we came a long way. And that's why we are able to give you the security spectrum now and then give you each control, each level. Of course, the last one, the green one, number six, is anonymous access. Like, anybody who has a link to a document can get to it. So you can see how the most restrictive to the least or no restriction it is there. So typically, the most restrictive is where you think about your intranet sites, internal-facing sites. You don't want any external collaborators being able to get in and access any of those content, right? So in those internal-facing site collections, you will prefer the first spectrum. The number two, three, and four is really the sweet spot, like where business-to-business collaborations and how you would configure SharePoint site collections within that spectrum itself. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and start with two scenarios, primarily focusing on number two, three, and four. So I'm going to start with three and four first, which is great, easy to do collaboration, but as an admin, you wanted to control what partner organizations that your end users can collaborate with. So we call this scenario more users' invitations are allowed. So you, end users are allowed to send out invitations and start collaborating, but with the admin restricted domains only. So that is the scenario here. So what it means is, in this topology, again, Contoso is an auto manufacturer, and they have auto parts manufacturer, Adatum and Fabrica. So those are the two partners that they want to collaborate with. So Peter, who's the end user in the Contoso organization, and he's a partnership manager. Means typically for these business collaborations within the organization, you will have specific users allotted as partnership managers, right? And they are the one handling the partnership with external partners. So Peter is of that particular role, okay? Melissa, on the other hand, she works for Adatum, and Peter has to collaborate with that particular person in Adatum. The scenario that we have enabled with this new one, with the SharePoint Online sites, is the concept called restricted domains concept. So what it means is, as you see in the top left, the IT admin manages the allow list, deny list. In this example, admin is configuring the allow list. He's saying, I'm going to allow only with adatum.com and fabricam.com. That's it. That's the only two partner domains that my end users can collaborate with and invite and bring the users in. So far, so good. Makes sense? So that's the scenario here. Now let's see how he's going to actually configure this. Actually, much easier to see it in the demo environment. So I'm going to go ahead and switch to the demo. I'm now logged in as admin of the Office 365 tenant. I'm in my SharePoint Online Tenant Admin Center. You're all very familiar with this. If you notice, there is a sharing option tab that we have introduced on the top left. The idea is this is the single place where you would configure any sharing policies for your SharePoint Online tenant itself. And now this is the place, of course, you will configure the external collaboration sharing policy as well. So let me zoom in a little bit here, and I'll walk you through the flows. So the first and foremost, if you remember the security spectrum that I walked you through, that experience is right here. So you have a choice of all the way from top to bottom, you can configure a specific security setting. So the very first one I said, don't allow any sort of external sharing. That's the first and foremost radio button that you have. The second choice is allowing just admin-managed guest users or existing guest users. The third one, which is the scenario that I'm talking about, is admin wants to control the partner domains, but he's okay letting Peter share with users from that particular domain. So that's the third option, which is users are allowed to send out email invitations. So it goes in hand with the additional settings that we have introduced in SharePoint Online, which is limit the external sharing collaboration to the specific domains. In this particular example, what you see is an allow list of sharing domains is configured by the admin. Example is adatum.com, fabricam.com, and microsoft.com. Those are the domains that are configured for this particular tenant itself. This is the tenant level configuration that is now being done. All right, so now let me actually go into, this is at the tenant level. As I explained in the security spectrum slide, at the each site collection, the needs are varying. So you have intranet sites, or you have extranet sites. So how do you configure that? So you go into a specific site collection. So let's say this site collection right here, it's an intranet site collection. It's not meant for any sort of external sharing. So in that case, when I go ahead and select the site collection and click the sharing option, you see the same, let me zoom in a bit. You can see the same list of options available here as well. Meaning, at the site collection level, you are able to pick, for this site collection, it's meant for only internal access. I'm going to shut off any sort of external sharing going out. So that's why you are selecting the first radio button. Okay? Now there's a second, this is the, to mention, key part here is, in your tenant, you can have both intranet sites as well as external facing sites, because these controls are available at the even site collection level. So that's why you are able to have both site collections, yeah? All right, so that's for example of the intranet. Now let's actually look at took an example of an site collection where I want to allow all the partners being able to, actually let me go ahead and uncheck the first one. And this site collection is where I want to allow all the partners, like both Adatum users as well as Fabricam users to be able to come and collaborate. So I have a site collection like that as well. So you can choose to allow users to invite from all the partner domains that I have configured at the tenant level, and that means, in this case, I have, if I zoom it in, ADATM, Autos, Microsoft.com, Fabricam.com, and Microsoft.com are the four domains that they are allowed to share with within this site collection. So within the, only the four partner domains. So that's another way I can configure a given site collection. But the most, probably the interesting one is, I have a site collection that I want just for ADATM. Meaning, in that site collection only, you can invite users from ADATM only. This is the brand new feature that we are introducing. It's not yet in production. It's going to come in production by end of this calendar year. But I'm showing you a preview of this. So in this site collection, what I have is, here we go. I have the selected the option to enable external sharing with the invitation model. But then, if you notice closely, within this site collection, I have actually said, even though the tenant level has four domains, like ADATM, Fabricam, Microsoft.com, and ADATMAutos.com, in this particular site collection, it's only ADATMAutos.onMicrosoft.com. So you can see how the hierarchy is going. At the tenant level, you have a superset of all the security domains, all the domains you want to allow. And then at the given site collection, you can even go one step further and control specific to which partner. Okay, I'll let you guys take a photo because I see many of you are taking a picture there. This is a very important one because this is how really the, I would say the core of your B2B collaboration scenarios, right? Because in a given tenant, being able to have collaboration across multiple partners, but at the same time have the container in a way for each partner. So there's a site collection for ADATM, there's a site collection for Fabricam. All right, so that's the setting for ADATM, and I have a similar one for Fabricam partner as well. So that's it. That's pretty much, as an admin, you need to configure in order to get your SharePoint Online site collections going forward. If you don't mind holding the questions, because I got a lot of content to cover, I'm happy to take the questions in the very end. Yeah? Okay, thanks. So I'm going to now switch gears and log in as the end user, meaning the Peter, who's now doing the actual collaboration, because I'm done with the admin part. So here is the site collection where the ADATM partnership, ADATM and Contoso is doing the partnership. And this is the site collection where just ADATMAutos.onMicrosoft.com is the only domain that is allowed. So let's see what happens if Peter is trying to share this site collection with the ADATMAutos user. So he wants to share with Matt. And here we go. I'm going to type in. And I'm able to resolve this user and tells me, hey, Matt Steele, yes, you're allowed to share with that, invite that person to this site collection. The other one I'm going to try is, Peter is going to try, well, I'm going to share with my, I'm trying to share with my buddy, who's, let's say, tom@hotmail.com. Let's see what happens if he tries to share with hotmail.com user. Let me zoom in. Immediately, the user gets access denied. Sorry, Peter, you cannot share with these users because your IT policy prohibits you from sharing with these additional domains, especially like hotmail.com or gmail.com, because the only allowed is the ADATM.com. Let's see what happens if he tries to share with somebody with Fabricam, let's say. And again, it's a red squiggly line, means that he's not allowed to share with that experience, that domain as well. Meaning, Peter is allowed to share just with that ADATM itself. Okay, so that's the experience for the end users. So in this case, let's go ahead and share with Matt. So now what happens is, behind the scene, there is an email invitation goes out to matt@ADATMAutos.onMicrosoft.com. So Matt is going to receive an email invitation to have a link to this particular site collection. So what I'm going to do is show you a little bit more of business-to-business collaboration that we have added more features here. So let me go ahead and log in as that user, let me make sure, Matt. And here is Matt, who is working at ADATM. And let me refresh the page just to make sure I have the latest session. And here is the email that I just got that basically points to the invitation that Peter sends from Contoso. Okay? So this is the ADATM Contoso partnership site that just got shared. So that's the email invitation. Now, in this case, Matt is already signed in to his Office 365 tenant, like ADATM tenant, right? And he's looking at Exchange Online on his tenant and looking at his emails. So he's already signed in to Office 365 with ADATEM tenant. So I'm going to click the link, invitation link that he just got in. And if you notice, he just got in single signed on into the Contoso's partnership site right here. But behind the scene, what happened is he's authenticated to Office 365 ADATEM. So then, since he has a link, valid link to go to the Contoso's site collection, he will get proxied authenticated against Contoso as well. And then because he has already permission given by Peter on the site collection, he will be able to get access to the site. Now, behind the scene, we also record this activity, the fact that he came in via this IP address, the fact he is accessing this particular site collection, that is also recorded behind the scene. I'll show you in a minute that audit log. Before I do that, so Matt is now in the Contoso tenant, accessing the site collection, the site that was shared with him by Peter. So let's see what happens to Matt's experience in the sharing. So let's say I'm going to toggle this on my right. So what you're seeing on your right is Matt from ADATEM tenant. On the left is Peter from the Contoso tenant. So you can see what the experience will look like for the internal user who's belonging to your Azure Active Directory and is belonging to Contoso versus an external user who just got invited to that tenant. Okay? So let me go ahead. It's the same site collection that I'm having here. I'm going to open up the sharing experience in both sides. Now, the first thing is Peter wants to share his site collection because he's an internal user. He wants to bring in Austin to this project. So Peter is a partnership manager, but he wants to bring in Austin to this project. So he goes and types in Austin. And if you notice right away, there is a user available in the Contoso, Austin James. He can select the user and he can share with the user. Great. Now, let's say what happens when Matt is trying to do the same thing. So he's typing Austin. And notice there is no results found. The reason is because he's an external guest user who got into Contoso tenant, he's out of the box restricted not to be able to traverse through your Contoso directory, your Azure Active Directory's content and all. So the only thing that he can see is that site collection, the users who are in that site collection, and he can work with them. That's it. That's the only thing he can see. So let's say what happens when Matt is saying, well, let me see whether I can, I want to share with my buddy. So I'm going to share with, Matt is trying to share with, let's say, tom@gmail.com. Again, the same experience. He cannot do anything. Basically, the red squiggly means that he's not allowed to share with it. That's the experience. When he clicks share, you'll get an error message. So that's the experience with Matt. So he cannot just traverse the directory of Contoso. He cannot just share with anybody else that he likes. He can work only in the constraint or container within that site collection itself. You guys like it? Yeah? All right. Don't feel shy to applause too, by the way. There's a lot of work went in here, especially if you want to accomplish this. People who have done on-premises will know already. In order to accomplish this kind of experience in on-premises, there's a lot more customizations you have to do on top of your SharePoint, just plain vanilla installation. But in the Office 365 SharePoint Online, you are getting these experiences out of the box. Okay? So now let's see, Matt is even further smart. He's saying, well, okay, I got access to Contoso tenant. What happens? I'm wondering whether they do partnership with Fabricam, because that's my competitor. So I want to know whether they're doing partnership with Fabricam. So he's going to, let me actually come out of this. He's going to now try to access the site, the Fabricam site. Let me make sure. Immediately says, sorry, Matt, you cannot get in here. You need permission in order to actually get access to this site. If you go further, I see there's a URL pattern here, so I'm going to try to access the team site, the intranet site. Remember I said the very first, there's the intranet site. He's now trying to access that particular site itself. So let me go ahead and try to access that site. Same thing. He wouldn't be able to get to that site as well. So meaning, from Matt's perspective, because he's an external a guest user in your tenant, the only thing he can see and work with is that particular site collection. Of course, basic functionalities like he can edit the documents, he can upload the documents, he can collaborate within that particular site collection with the rest of the users, all those capabilities, he will get them there for sure. The only thing he cannot do is, just because he's in your tenant, he cannot just traverse through across site, other sites, he cannot traverse through your directory and see all other users, who are all the executive members and so on, he cannot do all those things. Okay? So that's the, in nutshell, the scenario where IT has controlled the domains only for ADATEM.com and Fabricam.com, and then the end user's experience, both from internal user and from the external user. So let's fast forward a little bit. Let's say the project went on for 6 months or 8 months and so on. The partnership is over now. And even for that Aeriatum site that got created after 6 to 8 months or so on, you want to plug off the permission to it. You say, you know what, I'm done with the Aeriatum partner. I don't want anybody from Aeriatum to be able to get in and access those sites anymore, right? So in that particular state, what we will do is you get back to the tenant admin center, select that Aeriatum site collection, which is meant for that Aeriatum partner. And in your sharing experience or the sharing policy, you say, now that the policy partnership is completed, I'm going to simply say, don't allow any sort of sharing on that particular site collection anymore. Meaning, from that point onwards, only the internal Contoso users are the ones can see and work with that particular site collection. All right. It takes a few minutes here to update this setting. Here we go. And this is a very typical process, right? Because when you bring in a partner into a system, you work with them for a couple of months or 2 years, and then you get out of thing. The other thing I would call out is the lifecycle management of these external user identities. Because now, Matt is, even though he got single signed on to your directory, he has what we call the shadow object in your tenant. That's how he get permissioned, that's how he get audited, and things like that. We need to make sure that once the partnership is over and you no longer have a partnership with them and so on, then delete those user accounts as well. Also, in this particular site collection, Aeriatum, as many of you know, there is the permissions behind the scene, right? So you may want to revoke those permissions too. But what I'm showing you here is the first step you have to do, which is if a partnership is done, just shut off external sharing on that site collection. So let's now get back to Matt and see what happens. I'm going to the same flow. I got an email, it says 6 months later, oh, let me go back to the email that Peter sent, and he's going to go off and click that link again, boom, access denied, immediately. So as soon as you turned off external sharing and completely on that site collection, he can no longer access that site itself. The other aspect, the important benefit of this approach is because Matt is actually authenticated in his own tenant, let's say he leaves Aeriatum, or he got fired from Aeriatum. He no longer belongs to Aeriatum organization, right? In that particular case, of course, the Aeriatum organization will remove his user account from the directory and so on, so his authentication itself will fail, so he won't be even able to get to his mailbox. Even if he had the link in his favorite or something, when he clicks on it, he will fail at the authentication time itself, so he won't be able to get in to your tenant, in the Contoso tenant, okay? So that's in the nutshell, kind of the user invitation flow and how this all comes together. And I'm going to do one more demo on, I mentioned about the audit log. So let me quickly go through that particular experience. Refresh that. So I mentioned when Matt comes in, you are able to, we are actually doing the activity logs behind the scene. So one of the things is if you go into your security and compliance center, and then audit log search. And if you're interested in sharing activities or file access activities, you can select only those two set of activities as an admin. And then you can select to, in fact here, I'm going to be more picky and say, I'm wondering what Matt is up to. So I'm being suspicious with him. So I'm going to select that Matt account, which is he's the Aeriatum user that got in, and then click on the search. And I wanted to see what Peter is up to, too. I'm being very suspicious with this Aeriatum partner. So I'm going to add, because I know Peter is the guy who is managing that partnership. So I'm able to see activities from both the users. You can go with the users. If you don't want users, you can just filter by activities. How many of you have tried this, by the way, Security and Compliance Center? Few of you, okay. I strongly encourage you to go and try this out, because in the last 6 to 9 months, there has been a lot of improvements have happened in this space. So a lot more activities we are logging, also an easy way to filter and see what is going on in your tenant. So for example, here, what you see is right in the top, admin, which is Peter. So let me zoom in right here. I'm going to get more details. So it tells me right away that admin has shared, which is the Peter account, has shared the specific site, the site/Aeriatum, with the Matt, oops, sorry, let me just come out of there. He has shared that particular site with the user matt_8atomautos@armexa.com. So he tells you this user actually is the one who shared that particular site with him. And then there's also three more activities for that external user, Matt, as well. So that will be shows up. It takes about 10 minutes for the stuff to show up in this audit log. But you get the idea. So all the activities, both from internal user and the external users, are being logged as well in your tenant. And these are available for you for, I think, 90 days. And also, there are programmatic interfaces, so you can pull this data down into your, maybe you may have other tools that you are normally looking at these activities, so you can do that as well. All right, so let me get back to my other slides. So you saw from an admin perspective, configuring restricted domains, as well as from a user perspective, how the experience will look like, and from the external user, when he is in your tenant, what sort of experience he will have and the restrictions that he will have. Let's skip to this one. The next main scenario is around admin-managed guest user scenario. This one is in our security spectrum, the number two that I mentioned. So your admin or your security force saying, no, I don't want to allow Peter to be able to just go off and send invitations and bring them in. Rather, I want you, the tenant admin, to be the main gatekeeper to bring the people into your tenant, and then let Peter share with only those users. So that is the scenario here. And typically, you have the Contoso setup and perhaps the synchronization from your on-prem for your local users. But key point here is there is an Azure Active Directory B2B model. How many of you are familiar with that? A few of you. So in other words, as an admin, as the global admin of your tenant, you will be able to create a simple CSV file with a list of users. Let's say melissa@8atom.com, mike@fabricam.com, and so on. And then upload that file, the CSV file, I will show you the demo in a minute, into the Azure portal so that those users will actually get an invitation, and then they click on the invitation and show up in your tenant. But this can be done only by the global administrator of your tenant. So that way you have a really full managed way of bringing these external users in your system. Once they are in your tenant, then of course, like any other user, you can share the site collections with them where the external site collection is, external sharing is allowed in the site collections. So that is at the high level, what the model is here. It's actually better to see it in demo. I'm going to again switch gear here to the demo machine. All right. So if you go into the Azure portal, I'm getting back to the users panel, and before I go to this particular place, so let me show you the CSV file that I have created. So as an admin, I just created a simple flat file with Matt and Nate from the 8atom partnership team. Of course, I can add more things to it. The key point I want to call out here, which is a very interesting, and people who are looking for how do I connect these users into the security group that I already have, if you notice the fifth column or so, the invited to groups, this group right here. So what that does is, as these users get onboarded, when accepting invitation and then getting onboarded to your Contoso tenant, they will then automatically be added as a member on those particular security groups. So you can pre-permission them. Let's say you have a partner site or all partner site as a portal one. You can pre-permission that partner site to this particular security group, right? And then as these partners coming in to your tenant, they will get automatically added to this particular security group. Because they are part of the security group, they will have permission for that particular site as well, that site collection as well. So that is the other benefit here. The other second benefit is you can specify, here I have specified the 8atom site collection, what is the landing page for these partner users? So you can specify that as well. So you can specifically say, this particular site collection is where I want them to land when they come in. So those are some of those, I would say, tips that I wanted to share, because especially in the B2B scenarios, you normally want them to either land in a portal page and then go from different places, or you land them right into the site collection that is meant for them as well. So you have the flexibility in this model as well to achieve those use cases. So this is the CSV file that I created, and I click add a user. One of the options that is available here is users in partner companies. When you select that option, there is a possibility to find a upload a CSV file. Let me go ahead and click on the CSV. Here we go. And then what happens now behind the scene is AAD picks up those users, looks at the email address, sends off invitations to those users themselves. And the users, if I switch gears to Matt example, again, here we go, the mail just arrived. Microsoft invitations. This is the experience, the email invitation that they will get when the admin is bulk uploading a list of external users. And then same experience, they click on that link, they will get authenticated on the ADATUM tenant, then they will get proxy authenticated into the Contoso tenant. Whatever the landing SharePoint site is, they will land in that particular SharePoint share collection itself. But there is no users involved here. It's actually the admin who's inviting them. So now the question is, does it mean now I need to have both end users being able to invite and this admin able to bring these users in? Not necessarily. This is where one of the additional control that we have introduced in SharePoint Online is ability to say, let me head back to the site collection admin, and I'm going to select, I have one of the site collection in this mode. I'm selecting the restricted site collection, and then I will be able to say, here is the example. I'm saying in this site collection, allow sharing only with the users that are already in my directory. That means within this site collection, you cannot invite outside users, like melissa@adatum.com. An end user, Peter, cannot invite anybody. All he can do is whoever is already in the directory, only with those external users he can collaborate with. So that is the benefit here. If you want a little bit more constrained way of doing external collaboration, you can choose this particular option. So on the SharePoint side, invitations is completely blocked. Only at the Azure AD portal level, global admin is the only one who can bring in the external users. That's the fairly new scenario that we enabled recently as well. Okay, so that's the admin managed guest user scenario. Let me switch back to the slides. I want to quickly summarize what the external users can do and what they cannot do. Of course, if we start with the green, they can access the designated sites that you have invited them. They can collaborate within that site collection by uploading documents, modifying documents. They can have a basic profile, so they can say, hey, I'm a big shot in artificial intelligence, so you should ask me questions about that. So internally in Contoso, if you have a question about that, you can reach out to him. And then also, if you have given him a SharePoint Online license, then he will have some additional capabilities. Now, this is a fairly new concept we are trying to bring in, is if you want to add more capabilities for these guest users, the best way would be to assign them the corresponding license, then they will get those capabilities. What they cannot do is, like I showed you in the demo, they cannot access all the other sites, such as your intranet sites or other site collections that are meant for other partners. They cannot enumerate your users in your directory. They cannot invite other B2B users like joe@hotmail.com or mike@fabricam.com and so on. They cannot do that. And also, they cannot have an OneDrive for Business in your tenant, or they cannot have a mailbox in your tenant, because they are actually from external tenants. So they cannot have those as well in your tenant. So this is kind of, in summary, what they can or cannot do in your tenant. And I have a couple of screenshots. I'm going to quickly skim through that. There is one single URL, aka.ms/spb2b, and this covers all our investments that we are making. We have it available today, as well as what is coming up. So I strongly encourage you to check out this site for all the updates. And then whatever I showed you here and shared with you, it's just not, you know, technical or theoretical aspects. We have been working with some early adapter customers as well. And we have deployed, the customers have deployed this exact same experience that I showed you and are all benefiting from that experience as well. What I would like to do now is bring in Veera Chiranjeevi, who is the manager collaboration solution architecture in Johnson Controls. They are one of the early adapters. So please join me in welcoming Veera to the stage for a minute. Do you have a mic? I think we're going to share a mic. you want to. All right. Well, first of all, thanks, Virag, for taking the time to come here and share with us your experiences. Perhaps why don't we start with, like, what is Johnson Controls and what do you guys do, and how the collaboration, cross-sector collaboration, is so important for your business?
Hey, thanks, Shisha, and thanks for the session. Johnson Controls is a global manufacturing company, and we are Fortune 60. We are leaders in building technology and energy storage business. We have one of the largest adapter of Azure and Office 365 services. If you would have noticed in the keynote, we just merged with Tyco and other leaders in fire and safety. Our CTO from Tyco just gave a presentation in the keynote. So we are in building technology, and we are we are one of the fast adopters of cloud innovation that Microsoft is doing.
Awesome. And can you share some experience with when you're deploying the cross-sector collaboration or B2B with the SharePoint Online? Like, how did it go? And
yeah, of course. Shesh, we worked very closely hand in hand with Shesha and his team, and we deployed B2B collaboration services about 6 months ago. We turned it on, and since then, it has a very vast adoption with our business users. They really appreciate the privacy and compliance feature. Privacy and compliance data protection is key for us.
Okay.
And they appreciate it, and it's adding a tremendous value, which in the past, like you said, we had to do a whole bunch of customization and IT support to enable that feature to protect our data across our partners. And now it just comes out of the box, and we don't have to worry about it, and we just make sure we place those IT controls around it, and then we hand over the collaboration features to our business users. And we have driven, we have about 200,000 plus business partner users, and we collaborate with, and we have already, it's still growing, 200 plus partner site collections, and it's still external. We call it partner, but it's external sites, and it keeps growing. And it's,
wow, 200,000 external partners that you have.
External partners, yeah.
That kind of speaks of the scale in which you can even use Office 5, SharePoint Online, to be able to collaborate with so many of those users.
Yeah.
That's great. And what are some of the, I would say, improvements that you have seen comparing to your what you have been doing in the past, last year or so, from a process perspective, and how, with this new, now that you have all the external facing sites in the SharePoint Online, how does it help in improving that process?
From a process side, we had to basically do a special, from a technology side, we have to do a lot of work to get an external site ready and make sure we're onboarding the external user and make sure we do special security restrictions in our directories to get them provide access to the content, the external content we want to provide them access. With this feature, we are eliminating that process, and we are being a service broker to our business.
I see.
And they really like it. So instead of being an IT controlled and managed, we are more of an IT service broker. And then they like that. So the less control they get from IT, they appreciate it. The more visibility we get in what they do, we appreciate that. So it's a win-win scenario for both of us, and I think that's the best thing I would point it out as success in the process improvement.
Process improvement. Awesome.
Yeah.
And one last question, in terms of like next year or 3 years from now, like where do you see you're taking this platform down the road, and how you see this helps to improve or grow your business as well?
Oh yeah, we want to be leaders in building technology, which means that we want to be in every single building in the world, and apparently. Yeah, and we are already getting there. We don't know. So we are building, we're one of the top like HVAC units. So that means that we want to implement this solution and provide a value add service to our customers. So when you are a building facilitator, when you are working on a building, you have a technology hosted in the cloud, secure technology that you can post and you can get connected with our services very quickly. And that is where we really want to spread this, to provide the value-added IT service to our customers so that in a secure manner, so that we are still protecting one customer's information from another, at the same time providing them a service that that they don't have to wait weeks to get in touch
get
with
in
us.
Get in touch with them. Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing your experience.
Thanks,
it's nice having you here.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Virat.
Thank you.
All right, so now we're going to get into next set of scenarios. So I'm going to start with the connected pillar, which is going to be on SharePoint hybrid extranet scenario. And let me give a quick overview on what this means. I showed you all the improvements that we have done in Office 365 SharePoint Online. So that means you can start having external facing sites, and like you see from a Johnson Controls case success story itself, you can start having those external facing sites in SharePoint Online. However, you still have on-premises SharePoint too with the intranets, perhaps portals, and so on. So in the customer story that I talked about, that Peter is a partnership manager and sharing with ADATM and Fabricam, he still needs to hold access on-premises sites too. So what would be the experience, how the hybrid, SharePoint hybrid story can help you in providing that seamless experience? So I'm going to request Jeff to come on stage to share with you that scenario itself. Jeff? Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. Hey, guys. Can you hear me? Okay. How many of you guys still maintain on-premises SharePoint today? I'm guaranteeing pretty much everyone in the room more or less raised their hand. So I think with the, you know, and what Sesha just showed you previously was a lot of the innovation that's happening in Office 365. But we don't want to make that just because it's Office 365, we don't want to make that as a blocker for you guys to start adopting a lot of that technology. So the hybrid extranet scenario is all about really enabling you to start leveraging and extending your on-premises capabilities with that extranet scenario in the cloud. So the idea is with hybrid sites features and search, you can connect your on-premises team sites. You can keep everything where it is today. You don't need to migrate it. You don't need to transform it or move it anywhere. But you can just simply connect it and extend it with the Office 365 extranet scenarios that we saw earlier. So you can avoid, you know, continuing to invest in on-premises and building, you know, on-premises extranet. Just start extending your capabilities with the cloud. So I'm just going to dive right into the demo really quickly. Let me switch over. So what we have here is that I'm actually in an on-premises server box where it's already been dir synced with or directory synchronized with our Office 365 tenant. So as you notice in the left-hand side here, to set it up really quickly, it's actually really fast and easy. So I actually just all I need to do is log into my Office 365 tenancy, go to the SharePoint Admin Center. And then on the left-hand side, you'll see there's a tab that's called Configure Hybrid. So once I go there, you'll actually see that once it loads, you'll find that you actually get brought to something we like to call the Hybrid Picker. The idea behind the Hybrid Picker is that it actually completely simplifies the setup that you had to do with hybrid before. Traditionally, you know, hybrid is actually a very complex, you know, back, like let's say back 5-6 years ago, hybrid is a really complex setup where you had to take like a 20-page white paper to understand exactly what you needed to do to connect your on-premises tenancy to your cloud. But instead, what we've done here is that we're actually simplifying this by creating essentially more or less a click once app that's downloaded to your on-premises server and does everything for you. So what we've done here is we've gone ahead and launched the hybrid picker. And what we're going to do here in the first part is actually make sure we're properly authenticated to set up hybrid. And we're just going to quickly validate our credentials between the two locations to make sure we have the proper authentication. And then we're going to just kick it off. So the first thing it's going to do is it's actually what it's doing right now is checking that you have the appropriate prerequisites in both environments. It's fetching the data in on-premises. It's checking to make sure that you have the right version, you have the right, you know, services running, you have all the appropriate necessary settings in on-premises available to it so that you can actually go ahead and set up hybrid automatically. It's also going to the cloud at the same time and, you know, getting your tenant information, you know, all the authentication credentials and certificate information that it needs to actually you know, set up hybrid as well. So what you're going to see in a little bit is that there's actually going to be a checklist of all these little items that are required. And if there's actually any problems, you'll actually see an action item that'll allow you to, you know, actually make changes if you need be. So here's the checklist. And you can also view a report of it as well if you want to. So now we're just going to keep on going through this. The next step is now to actually decide which features you want to enable. There's a lot of different hybrid scenarios and features that you can enable. But in the context of this one, we're just actually going to choose the extranet business-to-business sites. And it'll also tell you which features are going to be enabled at this point. So at that point, what we're going to do is just going to click Next, and it's going to take care of everything by itself. That's all you need to do. You don't need to touch PowerShell. You don't need to touch any sort of other sort of configuration. This will automatically take care of all the configuration for you, including certs, authentication realms, and everything else that was super complex before. In a little second, it's currently validating. In a little second, it'll be finished. And then all we need to do here is, if you want, you can rate it as well. But now we're just going to go to the experience, what a user will see. So this is my Contoso SharePoint 2013 site. This is my on-premises site that me, as an internal user at Contoso, that I actually use on a daily basis. So what a common thing a lot of users will do is that they'll go and follow that site so that they can actually come back to it later. At the same time, we're actually going to go wait for the follow to actually come through. Hopefully it won't take too long. Oh, there it's going. And then also, this is the other site that we just saw earlier today. This is the Contoso and Edatum partnership site. And you know, as a user that I'm going to be external collaboration with, I want to actually follow this site as well. Now that you see, though, is that once I actually navigate here, though, is that as a user, I can see that both my Contoso Edatum business-to-business partner site as well as my internal site are all in one location as a user. So now that what we've done is essentially we've seen as a user how I can actually work in a hybrid environment. I can easily navigate if I want to go to my Contoso. I can navigate to my on-premises environment here. Or if I actually need to collaborate with partners, I can just click here, and I actually get navigated to my external partnership site at the same time. So in that sense, with what you guys have today, in terms of your internal team sites, in terms of your on-premises portals and everything like that, it can stay exactly where it is. But your users can start extending that and leveraging the hybrid extranet scenario as well. That's about it for me. And I think at this point, we're going to turn it over to Tony to actually talk a little bit more about the Exchange and Skype for Business site.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Well, I feel like SharePoint has kind of stolen the show this morning. And I think as an Exchange guy, I feel like Exchange needs a little love. That's just my personal opinion. So when we're talking about business-to-business collaboration, documents are obviously a big component of this. That's why we spent majority of the session talking about SharePoint. However, that's not the end of the story, right? There's more collaboration experiences that we want to enable for our users so they can make sure that they are, you know, staying in touch, being able to do meetings, able to IM and do conferencing and whatnot. So I'm just going to quickly run through features that we have in Office 365. Most of you that have been on the service for a while already know about this stuff, but I want to call out that what I'm going to show you today is really related to the scenarios that we've been talking about thus far, which is individuals being able to share with externals, right? For example, many of you are probably familiar with Exchange Online, Calendar, and FreeBSD Federation. That's not what I'm talking about today. What I'm actually going to be talking to you about is external calendar sharing, and how you as an administrator can meet the needs of your individuals and your partners while maintaining the same control that you saw there in SharePoint, or at least some parity around it. And so this slide just shows you that there's two areas. Most people are used to seeing the Exchange Online portal, which is there on the bottom right. But I did want to call out there's another area, and I'll show it to you in the demo, to set calendar sharing in the admin portal. So let me go ahead and jump into the demo. I think I'm, let's see if that comes up. All right. Credentials did not work. Super. All right, so this is, I'm logged in. This is Outlook configured as I think we're calling him Peter. Peter is at Contoso Works, and he's collaborating with Melissa over at Edatum. And one of the things that we want to make sure that Peter can do is give access to Melissa to his calendar so that she can set up, you know, look at his free busy, or if he wants to provide more details, what meetings he's in, and they can collaborate through meetings, right? Usually a lot of companies or a lot of people think federation is the way to do it. You got to set up the federation trust and all that. The truth is you don't have to do that. You can actually just use external sharing policies and not have to go use federation. So let me show you how we would do that if we were the admin. So here's the admin center. I'll mention to you that there is a way to set this up in the admin center. So we'll go into settings here, services and add-ins. So here you can actually, there's a long list of other things, and I'm, you know, definitely go talk to our admin folks if you want to learn more about this. They've made some really great changes here, but I wanted to call out that right here we actually have a module right within the admin center that allow us to go ahead and set simple, very, very simple settings for external calendar sharing. So here we see the first one is being able, allowing people to have external sharing. Also, the second one is about published calendars. And if you're familiar with published calendars, that's where we will publish an ICS of your calendars. And there's a long link that you can share to people. And we'll also publish an HTML version of the calendar. There's no authentication when somebody accesses that. It's basically they have that long URL that's generated. They can get access to it. But you may not want to allow that. You may just want to allow external sharing. And in this case, we can also, as the admin, configure at the highest level what we're going to allow them to share, right? If we only want them to share free busy, we can make it so that they can't pick anything higher than that. But if we're okay with letting them share all the other details, we can set that. And then the user will have the opportunity to pick a lower one if they want to when they share. But the rest of you, having not seen that before, are probably used to seeing here. This is the Exchange Admin Center. If we go into the organization section, this top section here is what you guys are probably seeing if you've set up federation before. Notice there's no federation relationships here. And what I'm focusing in on is down here in the individual sharing area. I have two policies, and I created two policies for the purposes of demo, but by default, you always have a default sharing policy. The sharing policy is something that is applied to every user's mailbox, and you can create as many policies as you'd like and assign them out. The thing that I wanted to show you is that when we were in the admin center, you didn't see policies there, right? It's all those changes are being done to the default policy. But if you wanted to get a little bit more nuanced, you can go into the admin center and do that. Same thing, and I'll show you with Skype for Business also has a module inside the admin center, but more details and finer grain settings are going to be in Skype. So just to be clear about how that works. So by default, calendar publishing with the anonymous links and external sharing are turned on for all domains. Well, in this case, we want to just say, we don't want people sharing calendars with anybody. We want them to not be able to publish. And then we've set up a policy so that Contoso can only share calendars with ADATUM, right? So what I did just for the demo is I created a separate policy here. Just allow sharing with ADATUM and Contoso Automobiles, and this is our allow list, right? This is what we have, you know, similar what we had in SharePoint, and I'll show you the similar thing in Skype. This is where we can say which are going to be on our whitelist, and for each domain, we then pick, you know, to what level, right? So you could have a very trusted partner and allow your users to share with them and give them full details. You can have another partner that you don't really like very much that you have to work with, and just set that to only allow your users to give them free busy. So I've already configured this policy and I've assigned it to Peter, right? So here's Peter. Peter can only share with, he's assigned that policy, he can only share with the folks that we've set up on the domain. So you, looking at this from OWA, and I'll show you Outlook as well, but I wanted to show you the experience here in Outlook on the web, is that what we're calling it now? Is here we can actually go to your calendar and you would right click on your calendar and say share calendar. So what it would look like if I tried to share my calendar with Bill Gates. Right, what's gonna happen here? Sorry, you don't have permission to share to Bill Gates. Well, that kind of stinks. I want him to call me and go golfing. But we do wanna share with Melissa. Let's see, Melissa, oh look, there she is. She's right there. So let's see if we can share with Melissa. It's just, in this case, it's actually going back and doing a validation of the user you typed in against your policies. And so since we set full details as the maximum, the user can go ahead and pick a lower level. If we had only set FreeBusy only, then they would only see availability only here. So we'll go ahead and send this to Melissa. So she has, now she has an invitation. She can do it, and I'll show you that in a minute. But I did want to show you what it would look like on the other side. So let's go over to, if we're on the ADATUM, in the ADATUM world, I'm actually going to show you John. So John is on ADATUM. John is an admin in ADATUM. John is set up all this stuff, but he kind of wants to see what's going on over there. And now remember, Peter only shared with Melissa, right? So John's like, well, maybe I can see his calendar, right? So let's go here, and if we're going to try to, I want to set up a meeting with John, Peter. I'm getting all these names confused. So I got Peter here, who happens to have admin as his email address. And let's see what his FreeBusy looks like. Now, most of you guys may not be familiar with how Outlook on the web looks, but it's a little different than Outlook. But same symbols here. That slash means can't get any data, right? Which is what we expect. But if we're Melissa, we now have in Melissa's inbox, an invitation here, right? From Peter, I'd like to share my calendar with you. And we can then go and click on open this calendar. I also want to show you the experience let's look at it in OWA, because it's actually also a great experience. Go away. Close all, come on. All right, demo gods. Let's go with this way. So in Office 365, or excuse me, in Outlook on the web, it's actually, we're always innovating on Outlook on the web. You know, you should look there and see some great features. And sometimes what we'll do is you'll see features show up there that will make it into Outlook, the desktop product. So, and I know there's work going on to improve the sharing experience with calendars, and you'll see more of that, and I'll show you the session that's gonna talk about that. So let me log in here. So Melissa, whether she's using Outlook or Outlook on the web and gets the sharing invitation, she'll see something similar, but ultimately she sees an accept button. And so here I'm gonna just go ahead and accept it. And there you go, I've got Peter's calendar information here. And now if I want to, I'll go over back to Outlook because it's prettier in Outlook. I also can open it in here in Outlook. There we go. Go side by side because I want to see how that looks on my calendar. I'm going to go back to my calendar and create a meeting and invite Peter. And I want to see his FreeBusy, not Peter, because it's admin. Hopefully I spelled that right. I did. So now I can see, I'm Melissa, I've got access to his calendar, and I can see his FreeBusy, whereas John, who is the admin, even though he's turned on this thing, it's still in control of Peter over in Contoso. He's still in control. So that's external calendar sharing, and I did want to make sure that everybody understood, this is one way, right? If I'm Melissa and I have access to my partner's calendar, I can't go make changes to his calendar right now. It's really a view only. But let's talk about Skype. So over here in, wrong button. Over here in the admin portal for Contoso. Hello, Peter. So they have also, like I mentioned earlier, they also have a little quick module to get you going with Skype for Business sharing, right? We want to enable scenarios that allow our people to communicate. So here in, go back to the service and add-in section. So we have Skype for Business down here, right? And, real quick, easy place to go and make changes to your tenant. The first one is allowing folks in your organization to be able to communicate with other organizations that have Skype for Business. And the second one is allowing Skype for Business, your users that are using Skype for Business, to be able to communicate directly with Skype consumer users. You also see here what Sesha was showing you earlier about what we have in SharePoint, and I showed you with the sharing policies what we have in Exchange Online. And here, continuing the same theme, you're in control. You can set what domains you want to allow, if you allow it at all, right? So you can do open, all domains are allowed. You can do the blacklist approach, or you can do the whitelist approach. So here I've just said all domains are blocked except our partners. And just to kind of show what that looks like, I'm Melissa, and I'm presenting. All right. So let's say I want to reach out to this guy. Let's see if he's available. Hi, I want a raise. No, so this is the experience what it gets when it's blocked, right? You don't get presence information. Action couldn't be completed, please try again later. That's not spectacular, but that's, they at least know that they can't do it, right? So what would happen though, if I've got it turned on for a partner, is I can see Melissa. I want to talk to Melissa at a datum. Autos. And she's on the external network. I get her presence information. She's available. How are you doing? And that, and there, just like that, right? It's, we now have communication. I can show you over on Melissa's PC what just happened. She's like, she gets something from Peter. It shows that it's external network. And with the Skype for Business client, you can configure things around what information you will share as an individual to a partner or somebody on the external network. And so if they don't want to share the presence information, they can configure that. Just open that. There we go. Where is it? Contact list, right? Right, so here's some override settings, right? We can say, I want the system administrator to decide. Currently, everyone can see my presence, but this could change in the future, meaning the setting that we set in Skype for Business. And I didn't show you the component, the extra settings that we have, not just in the, this is the simple ones that we have in the admin center, but for those of you that are used to seeing it in Skype for Business, we'll go down here to organization in our Skype for Business. Here's the presence privacy mode. As an admin, I can set and say, go ahead and share presence information, or only to folks that are on their contact list, right? So this would be people that are trying to get access to us and they want to see presence information. Clearly, Satya's is not available, so we couldn't see that. But in external communications, this goes back to what I showed you in the admin center. This is the, they're connected, and so here you can see the same thing, whether we're gonna block it, or whether we're gonna allow it, or the whitelist blacklist approach, and then the various admin options. At this point, I'm gonna stop and give it back to Sesha to close this down. I'll be available for questions afterwards. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony and Jeff. I know we are over time, so I'm going to finish off with a couple of slides. There we go. Be quick, we have talked about it, and you saw the nice demo with both the hybrid extranet and SharePoint, as well as Exchange Online calendar sharing and the Skype for Business chat as well. And to summarize, with Office 365, the cross-org collaboration experiences that we have enabled, it's a, I would say, an excellent collaboration tool or an ecosystem for you to start enabling more and more cross-org collaboration experience in Office 365 itself. And you saw the whole spectrum of the end ecosystem together, right? Starting from sharing the sites, documents, to calendar sharing, to all the way to Skype for Business chat as well. And the underlying theme is the admin, like all of you, have the control over which organization, what is the allow list or restricted domains that you want to allow your end users to collaborate with. So that's the significant controls are available across the board, as well as we also talked about hybrid, like even in the on-premises, giving Peter-like users, partnership managers, a seamless experience as well. So that is another key model there. So to finish off, there is three key principles we follow through: simple for end users, secure and governed for IT admins, as well as the connected experience. I do want to shout out for two other sessions, because you're all folks interested in the cross-org collaboration. There is a session tomorrow on Azure Active Directory B2B, the bulk user invite that I quickly showed the demo for the admin-managed guest users. So Sarath is going to go a little bit deeper into that topic. If you're interested, please check out that session. Also, Office 365 groups. There is actually was a session yesterday talking about, because we just recently announced external users, you can have them as members in Office 365 groups as well. There was a session yesterday by Sashi, and check out the video on demand there. So those are the two key sessions I wanted to call out. And then also there are other Ignite sessions as well. So hope you enjoyed all the details as well as the data today. So thank you very much for your time, and we'll be available for offline questions.